Thank you for joining the next It Gets Better podcast. Today I'm here with Craig and we're going to hear about his story. Welcome.
Hello.
So, can you just give our listeners a little bit of background information about yourself, your upbringing and how that was for you?
So, I come from down south. I come from Swindon. I spent the first 10 years of my life living in a village near Swindon. And then when I was 10, we moved up north to another little village near Scunthorpe. So I spent the next sort of 8 years again living in a village before moving on to a university at the University of Manchester.
Okay.
So it was generally a really happy upbringing. Mum, dad, sister, relatively close, a very supportive family, happy to let me do what I wanted to do. There was no pressure on me in terms of education or jobs and what they wanted me to do. They just let me decide myself, so that was good.
Okay, good. And then can you tell us a little bit about your coming out experience, so when this happened and why it happened and if it was a decision that you made for yourself?
So I came out a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's unique to me, but I came out when I was 13 to my sister. I wrote her a letter.
Okay.
Sort of, because I don't think I could say it out loud at that point. And she was really sort of glad that I'd come to her and said that I thought I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't tell my parents. We just sort of, that was kind of it really.
Mm-hmm.
At 13. And then I guess you just have that bit of confusion. So then I had a girlfriend for a year or two. So I think my sister was confused as well.
Okay.
Like, what's going on? and then I had a best friend who ended up being my boyfriend at the time at 15. And my mum found us holding hands, and so then she had to approach me and ask me was I gay?
Okay.
And at which point I said, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But again, then I had a girlfriend again after that.
Okay.
So I think my mum was confused, and it wasn't until I came to university when I had a boyfriend here, which I came out again so when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Where I then told my mum by text.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which she wasn't very happy about. She was angry that I'd done it by text, that I couldn't just come out with it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as her response was, again, it was fine. It wasn't amazing, but it was fine.
Okay.
She was always quite awkward about it for a couple of years anyway.
Yeah.
But she told my dad the day after I texted her, and he was like, oh yeah, I thought you were.
All right.
Carried on with his life, and yeah. One of those things where you might think your dad might find it more difficult, or I thought my dad would have more trouble with it.
Mm.
Really didn't have a problem.
Okay.
And mum came around to the situation after a couple of years, and obviously now she's fine. It's been many years later.
Okay.
And then they then told my grandparents after that. And again, my grandparents were amazing. They were like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
So they responded better than my mum did, which is weird. You think that generation might be a little bit older,
yeah.
I think they might have more concerns
mm-hmm.
about it. So I was lucky, I think, generally, although there was some initial difficulty with my mum, generally, it's been fine.
So it sounds like that's been quite a positive experience for you. How
yes.
about with your friendship group at different stages? Has there been any difficulties or interesting reactions?
It's one of those things where it was more when I was 13, 14, where I think the kids at school could tell I was different, and that's where the problem, that was my biggest problem growing up in a village, is that with bullying and name calling, and it was nothing ever physical, but it was general day-to-day taunts from other kids, obviously mainly boys, and the girls were fine. It was the boys that were really pretty nasty, and probably even younger than that, sort of even when I was maybe 11, 12, I think they could tell that I was a bit different, And so that, I think that's where, yeah, that's been family and that sort of stuff is fine. It was the kids at school that were pretty
okay.
helpful.
Yeah.
And that, I think I came out to everyone at 15 at school,
mm-hmm.
or because I had a boyfriend at that point. And then I had a girlfriend, so I was in college. So, and some of the people from my school went to my college. But at that point, I kind of was old enough to be separated.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to interact with the people that I knew
sure.
were horrible.
Okay.
But whereas my friends, actually, my actual friends were fine with it.
Yeah.
They didn't have any problem with it. I didn't have anyone that I was close to.
Mm-hmm.
No one responded badly. It was fine.
That's good to hear then. And then you came to university at mm-hmm. Manchester.
Yes.
And how was that like being out gay person at Manchester University?
It was great. I mean, I think especially as I've said before, I come from a little village. Knowing that the response I was getting at school, I really was really wanted to get to university. I had a chart on my wall of counting down the days.
Oh right, okay.
Because that was. My aim was to come to Manchester University. I'd seen Chorus Folk on
mm-hmm.
telly and knew that Manchester was very accepting, or at least that was my impression from TV.
Yeah.
I wasn't disappointed. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Had, you know, you have that thing where you meet new people, and it's you, as a gay person, you always, it's like, and I don't think straight people realise this, you have to come out every time you meet someone new.
Yeah.
So that was the, obviously I happened to do that at university, and it was quite early on in me accepting who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was difficult for me, but the reactions I got,
yeah.
nothing. People were just, what else? So it was really good.
That's
really good response.
Really good to hear.
And there was the LGBT network, I think it was the LGBT network, student network,
yeah.
Back then, that I started getting involved with on nights out and stuff, so then you get to meet people that have been through similar things to you, so
mm-hmm.
I had a little network there as well, so that was good.
Good.
Yeah.
And then, so after studying at the university, your first job was here?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So I did a PhD after my undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 22, 23, I got a job after that.
Yeah.
Here, so that was, yeah, I was
okay.
Experimental officer in the Michael Smith building.
Right.
Again, very similar situation with coming out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a bad reaction, and I guess that's part of the reasons why I'm very loyal to the university and want to stay working here.
Great.
Because of that.
And would you say that that's generally the case that you've experienced that LGBT people are supported here in the workplace?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think more. So I've not notice a change per se in the university because I've always had a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine that maybe my situation is not everyone's situation for, because I started in 2001, so it's 20, almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell that the country as a whole has moved on quite a bit, since, even in those 20 years. So
yeah.
I would have thought most people get an even better response now
mm-hmm.
and are supported here.
So these podcasts are being driven by the network group All Out. Can you just talk a little bit about any experience you've had with All Out, or what involvement you've had with the group?
So there, obviously, you run the network runs different events
mm-hmm.
throughout the year, and I've gone to a few of those. It's been great to hear, but also to meet people across the university, because obviously everyone's spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always nice to sort of meet people that had similar experiences to yourself, to me. There was the last History Month, you did a history of the university
yeah.
in terms of the LGBT
mm-hmm.
Sort of history, and that was really good. I really liked that. It was great to hear sort of where it used to be based,
mm-hmm.
Over in Waterloo Place,
yeah.
And some of the firsts for the university, so I really liked that. And I've been to a couple of the quizzes as well
mm-hmm.
that you hold, and that's really fun. It's really nice to,
yeah.
to do that sort of thing. I haven't been involved in Pride yet. I think I've been an employee for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
but when I was doing my PhD in research, that was my focus.
Yeah.
Focus. I didn't find enough time to experience and interact with the group as much. But now, sort of in moving into the world of safety, it does give me a bit of time to be able to do that sort of thing and enjoy the other aspects of the university rather than just work. So,
that's good.
So I'm hoping to get more involved, and obviously with Pride coming up in August as well. So
yeah,
that'll be good.
Brilliant. So before we wrap up, have you got any advice that you'd like to give to people that are listening, whether it be someone from the LGBT community or one of our allies?
So I would say, I mean, obviously, with anyone's listening to this, if you are a member of the LGBT community, and you haven't come out to your work colleagues or other fellow students, then I would encourage, if you feel comfortable to, don't feel that there's going to be a negative response, because I've never had that. If there was a negative response, there are mechanisms in place to help and support you with that. But yeah, I would always encourage just to be open and honest, and I think people appreciate that. That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time today, Craig. That's been really interesting. Hope the listeners have enjoyed that. Please do tune into our next It Gets Better podcast.